What a tremendous song. I'm glad our Lord loves us so much that He has mercy upon us and restores us. In fact, it goes along with the message tonight. Turn to a familiar passage, real familiar passage, almost to everyone. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We're going to take a portion of the scripture and preach a little bit tonight on restoration. I'm glad the Lord, again, loves us so much and cares for us that not only did He save us, gave us everlasting life, Son shed His blood for us, resurrected on the third day, but He also empowers us to live the Christian life, gives us the Holy Spirit who abides in us, and empowers us to follow in Christ's steps. But when we fall, our Lord is there. When we mess up, our Lord is there. When we take the wrong path and we don't follow in His steps, our Lord is there. That He absolutely shows His grace to us and His mercy. Now, I'm not making excuses that we understand, and we preach the very first of the year that we do reap what we sow. But I'm so glad my Lord loves me so much that He'll give me grace even when He's having to use the rod a little bit. Amen. Even when He's applying the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. Psalm 23. Let's just begin on the very first verse there. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope He's your shepherd tonight. If you're here, you're visiting with us, and you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest decision you'll ever make is accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Allowing the Lord to be your shepherd. Allowing the Lord to be your caretaker. I mean, allowing the Lord to be there for you. I'm telling you, it's the greatest decision I ever made. Even at the age of 6 years old, the greatest decision I ever made, knowing Jesus as my Savior. And I can say the Lord is my shepherd. He is there, caring for me, guiding me, all the things that a shepherd does. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm glad He supplies all my needs. Philippians says He supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By the way, His riches and glory, I think that's pretty rich. I don't think His resources do not run out. Ours do, especially if you drive a Ford, constantly putting money into it. But our resources run out, but God's resources never run out. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I'm glad He provides for me the things that I need. He supplies my needs. He gives me those good times, those green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And here's what I'd like to dwell on tonight. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restoreth my soul. I'm glad the great shepherd restores His sheep. That when we fall, when we take the wrong path, that He, in His grace and mercy, restores us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love. We thank You, God, that You are our shepherd. Lord, that You care about us. That You have not just left us out to wander and in this wilderness, but God, You are there right beside us. You promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm glad tonight that You restore our soul. Lord, thank You. We ask this in Your name. Amen. As we look to the restoration, He restoreth my soul, we must understand that in this life, we must keep our eyes on the shepherd. We must keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about there in 1 John 1:7, as we keep our eyes on Him, as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that we should keep our focus on Jesus Christ. As Peter got out of the boat and the winds were boisterous and the waves were crashing against the boat, and Peter stepped out of that boat to walk to Jesus on the water, Peter fell because he got his eyes off Jesus Christ. Peter fell because began to sink because he got his eyes off the Lord. Let us always be reminded tonight that we must keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must keep our eyes in the book. We must keep our focus in the book. We must follow in Jesus' steps. Keep our eyes on Him. Psalm 23, we see that the shepherd, our Lord and Savior, does and absolutely restores His sheep. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude they kept holiday. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He said, we went with the multitude to the house of God. We sang the joys and the praises of the Lord. We did all these wonderful things. But why is my soul cast down? Why am I cast down? Hope in God. Why is my spirit disquieted? Hope thou in God. I just tell you, remind you, keep your eyes on the shepherd. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in Him. He is our only hope. As we've said, the hope is not the government. The hope is not your job. The hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? In the old English language, shepherds would speak of sheep that were cast or was cast, meaning the sheep was on its back or in a helpless, frightened position and could not get up. That's a very dangerous position for a sheep to be in. It's a defenseless position for a sheep to be in, cast down on their back. In relatively a short amount of time, a sheep will die if it's allowed to stay on its back, either from its own problems or from other animals out to devour them. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? Why do you feel tonight that you're in a helpless position? Why do you think that you're vulnerable? Why do you think tonight that someone may come and destroy you? I think tonight what I'd like to get across to you is that sheep that are cast down and feel themselves to be in a vulnerable position need restoration, need to be restored. John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Our relationship with Jesus Christ is something that cannot be changed. We are saved eternally. That will never change. We, once born into the family of God, once we're born into that family of God, we cannot be unborn. We can't get kicked out of the family. Amen? No man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Eternal life. John chapter 10 says eternal life. Eternal means eternal. And that eternal life began at the moment that we accepted Christ as our Savior. What a hope that we have. I remember almost 20 years ago now, when I, first year of Bible college, I sat out in my front yard. Me and my wife had just gotten married, and sat out in the front yard, and a man came over to the house and spent about an hour with him out in the front yard just talking about the Lord. And he was of the charismatic persuasion. And I'll never forget talking to him and asking him questions, because I was still just learning so much, and still am, but especially about other groups of people, other beliefs. Began to talk to him about his salvation. He said, "Oh, I'm saved." I said, You are saved. Well, give me your testimony. Well, tell me about your salvation experience." And he began to tell me, and he had an experience. He had a dream, and this happened, and so forth. And he based his whole salvation on an experience that he had, that God had come to him or God had spoken to him. And this guy's an educator. This guy with a master's degree. It wasn't like he was talking very intelligently about it. And just, this is what I believe. I said, well, are you saved? If you were to die today, do you know if you go to heaven? And his answer was, I believe so. I said, well, how can you lay your head down at night not knowing whether if you were to die that night you would go to heaven or hell? He said, well, I know that as long as I confess my sins before I go to sleep that I go to heaven. I said to him, well, what if you forget one? What if you can't remember one of those sins and you lay your head down at night and you forget to confess one? Will you go to heaven or hell? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, the Bible says you can know. These things have I spoken to you that you might know that you have eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen, you can know that you can have eternal life. And here Jesus simply says, listen, it's eternal. You may have eternal life, and no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. I just want to reassure you tonight and remind you as Christians, as members of Heritage Baptist Church, that you are saved eternally. That we do believe in eternal security because the Bible teaches it. That once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't have to lay down my head at night and wonder whether or not if I was to, my heart was to stop from the Oreo cookies I ate beforehand. If my heart was to stop, I there's not a doubt in my mind I'd be in heaven that very second. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I am so overjoyed and have such great hope and peace and knowing that I am saved eternally, forevermore. And I don't have to worry about it. And when it comes to hurting, when it comes to having, trials in your life, and when it comes to just the monotony of the day and just dealing with family and finances and jobs and kids and health and hospitals and doctors and what we can hang our hat on more than anything else, what we can nail on the wall is that we're saved eternally. And we can hope in God. He said, hope in God. Why are you cast down on my soul? Hope in God. We have the greatest hope of all. And you know what? The New Testament teaches us the righteous and the wicked both go through problems. But the wicked go through problems without any hope. I go through problems with hope. I have hope of eternal life. And that life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with Christ is something that can change. Our relationship cannot change, but our fellowship can change. And we've been taught this, I've been taught this all my life from the time I was a little kid all the way up, that I am saved eternally and no one can change that. Nothing I can do can change that. My God loves me unconditionally. But absolutely, when I go astray, when I get cast down and I allow myself to get in a vulnerable position, when I get in a place where my joy is lost and the trials and discouragement set in, that my fellowship with God can change. We can feel that closeness many times. We feel the nearness of God. And there's been times in my own life where I felt like I could almost just reach out and touch Him. Have you experienced that? I mean, just it's almost like it's just amazing, amazing time and fellowshipping with God and the dearness and the closeness of the Lord. But at other times it seems like He is so far away, which is not biblical because He never moves. But as we move away, as we get out of this, out of step with the Lord, as we stop lining up with Him, we become cast down. And that fellowship with the God can change us. That communion with Christ changes. And we lose that sweet fellowship with the Lord. We lose that joy that David speaks about in Psalm 51, where he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He did not say, restore unto me thy salvation. We don't lose our salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What happens when we get out of step with the Lord, when we cease to follow in His steps? We lose our joy. We lose that joy. I don't want to be and to continue lying on my back in a vulnerable position. I don't want to be in that position of being cast down and turned over and placing myself in a backward position, if you would. But I'm glad that when I do, that the Lord comes and picks me up and places me upright. It's kind of like if you see a turtle on the fence post, you know he got there, he didn't get there by himself. The Lord is always there to turn you upright. Every time. And you cannot do it on your own. He's always there. Our opportunities are always there to be restored. Restore, to bring again, to bring home, to restore. There are great opportunities opportunities to be restored. Some people feel as if they've ruined their lives, as if nothing good will ever come again their way. You ever been in that position where you just felt like, well, I ruined my life? Or, I'll never have that opportunity again. God wouldn't allow that opportunity to come my way again. That's not biblical. That's not true. Joel 2:25, the Bible says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent among you." He said to Israel, "I will restore these things to you." Did they deserve it? No. But he said, "I will restore." Our shepherd can and will restore his sheep. And many times, listen to this. This is how good our God is. It's not that He just restores us. Many times, the restoration exceeds what we lost. Let me say that again. Many times, the restoration exceeds what we lost. Why would God do that? Because He loves us. That's our shepherd. As we think about this in our own life of falling or finding ourselves in a cast down position, we see others around us who get in that vulnerable position. There's no doubt if we were to take a survey tonight of each person here in the auditorium that you could think of someone you know who is a Christian who has gotten off track. No doubt each of us could think about somebody in your mind who needs to be restored, who needs that help from the Lord. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, kick him in the face." Doesn't say that. Kick him while he's down. Kick her while she's down. You know, call everybody else in the church, let them know how bad they are. You know, spread the word. No, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Self-forgetfulness. Forgetting about yourself and coming in the spirit of meekness to restore such a one. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I'm telling you, the biblical principle is there. We sometimes feel like, well, that would never happen to me, or I would never allow myself to get in that position. And we have a tendency, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, to look down on certain events in people's life or certain situations that people have gotten into. We look down upon them and saying, well, that would never happen to me. The Bible makes it very clear, you better be careful. Be careful lest you fall. Be careful lest you fall in the same sin that they're in. Be careful lest you get in that same position and you get out of step with the Lord. Well, we need to become in the spirit of meekness, the Bible says. Self-forgetfulness, just coming to Him, saying, "Lord, help me," and then go to that person and help restore them. Be an encouragement to them. Don't be like Job's three friends and show up and say, "Now you know, all this has happened to you because there's some great sin in your life. And what you need to do is you need to get that thing right." Job says, I searched. I prayed. I don't see anything. I haven't found anything that I believe that God would have done this to me." He lost his 10 children, and his wife told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Lost all of his wealth, all of his family. And his three friends just come and beat the tar out of him, verbally. Boy, we need to be meek. We need to be kind. We need to be loving and caring and come to people who are discouraged and those who have put themselves in a position of being cast down and just be that encourager. Be a restorer. When people among us who know the Lord choose to stray and sin, God tells us we should restore them. Amen. as they repent and seek forgiveness, we're to bring them back into the fold. Oh, but you don't know what they did to me, preacher. I get that all the time. Preacher, they did this and that, and I've given them 3 chances and 5 chances and 10. I've helped them, and I've done this and I've done that. 70 times 70? You've done it 490 times? Have you? I mean, you've reached that number. I just have found no one yet who has reached the 490 point. If you get past the 490, I guess you're okay. You don't have to forgive them anymore. And I feel very sorry for the person who's keeping up with it. Right? I mean, if you have some bitterness issues, brother or sister, you need to get right. No, the Bible, Jesus says 70 times 70, and basically making us aware that we should continually forgive a person. Continually forgive a person. Turn the other cheek. Amen. Love and be concerned and restore them and lift them up and encourage them. And each one of us tonight probably need to go home and not only assess our own life, but maybe we need to look out for someone around us. Someone who we know has fallen, or someone we know who's even discouraged and going through some trial. Maybe it is of their own making. Maybe tonight you have a child who has fallen in a pit and they've done it on their own. They made their own mess. And maybe tonight you just, maybe here lately you just said you've kind of washed your hands of it. Maybe you need to go back and reconsider. I mean, there's times where a person, again, you reap what you sow. But when that person hits bottom and that person's down and down and cast down on their back and they have no other, boy, we need to be kind and gracious and caring. Amen? That's what it's saying. Restore that person. Again, when there is sin, there should be repentance, but there should also be forgiveness. And there should be restoration. When we come into proper communion with God, when our fellowship with the Lord is right, our own souls will be restored. I'm telling you, overnight, we as Christians can have our lives restored by the Lord. Overnight, a transformation can take place. Overnight, the birds can begin to sing again in your life. You don't have to wait 3 months. You don't have to many times go through some purging process. It's simply coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness. And I'm telling you, the great shepherd will put his arms around you and love you and care for you, and he will restore your soul. Heal that wound. You say, well, you don't know what they've done to me, or you don't know what I've experienced in my own life. Can I just tell you that the great medicine or the salve that the Lord has can heal any wound, can heal any sorrow. He restoreth my soul. And He will do that grace and the work that you need at the time you need it. I think Brother Wildman helped put things in perspective. I am telling you, if you go through and when you go through that dark and lonely trial, whatever it may be, that God gives grace to that person above and beyond. It's amazing. I felt it in my own life. Going through some deep, dark trial, and I felt the hand of God on my life. I felt the grace of God that empowered me to go through that trial. I've seen it in the lives, especially in young kids. It's amazing. I'll never forget Matt Pippen. I'll never forget him. Some of y'all remember him, who had leukemia. One of the little boy who died eventually, but man, what a testimony he had. It's just such uplifting, so uplifting. Everybody who met him, even going through chemo and all the things he did. Morgan reminds me a lot of that, the spirit that she has, that God gave her. There's no doubt about that. God gave her that spirit. God, when you go through your trial, and as you're going through your trial, when you're downcast, He will give you the grace and the power that you need at the time you need it. Somebody in the New Testament, and I'll be done, that clearly pictures this for us tonight, and that would be old Peter, isn't it? You think about Peter tonight and was loved by the Lord and had been an intricate part of the Lord's ministry. But God, the Lord told him, Peter, before this night's over, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, no way. I'll die for you. Peter was somewhere watching as Jesus bled and died on the cross. He denied the Lord three times. But the Lord prayed for him. In Luke chapter 12, the Bible says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you and that he may sift you as wheat. But I what? Remember the verse? He said, but I prayed for thee. The Lord prayed for Peter. The Lord knew what Peter was going to do, but he prayed for him. Can I tell you tonight the Lord's praying for you? John makes that very clear. He prays for you. Those who are saved, those who are born again, that the Lord is making intercession for us, that He ever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews says. In Mark 16, verse 7, when Jesus, after His resurrection, He sent a message to the apostles. He says, but go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him and He as He said unto you. Why when they sent the message to the disciples, why did he say the apostles and Peter? Peter had denied Him three times. Peter had deserted Him. Peter had cussed and said, I'm not a part of it. I have no part with Him. And yet after His resurrection, Jesus says to the apostles, meet me over in Galilee and remind Peter, tell Peter. Isn't that good? After Peter denied Him. Called Peter by name, singled him out. You know, we think about our Lord and we think about, well, God has so much to do. Does He really think about me? No, He thinks about you. He's God. There's no searching of His understanding. There's no maxing out His power. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. That's an individual promise. And he keeps His promise. He says He knows the number of hairs on our head. He does. He cares about us individually. He has our hairs numbered. And as I always say, that's getting less and less. Have you all looked at the top of my head lately? What's happening? Start wearing a hat to the pulpit. He has our hairs. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Basically saying to Peter, I want to restore you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Imagine that. After having denied Him, Peter's sin was seen by Christ. The Bible says there in Luke 22, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that He had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord had looked on him. The Lord had turned to him. He saw Peter's sin. The moment we look to the Savior, we realize He has always been looking at us. He's always there. Never leaves us nor forsakes us. Peter was able to remember his sin. The Bible says they went out and began to fish all night, and as the sun rose, they could see Jesus there on the shores of Galilee. And just as Peter had denied Christ three times, so Christ asked Peter three questions. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than your employment? Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than these apostles? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Lovest thou me? Think about the psalmist now, and I'm done. He restoreth my soul. Peter had denied the Lord, and yet the Lord restored him. I mean, the Lord even looked at him and saw his sin, and yet the Lord restored him. Consider how far Peter had gone away from the Lord. gone back to his old employment. And this is the point now. And yet the Lord tracked him down. The Lord sought him. Listen. The Lord went after his lost sheep. That's the shepherd that I serve. He restoreth my soul. Oh, there's lots of sheep. Millions of sheep. But the promise is individual. He sought Peter, and he'll seek you as well. He restoreth my soul. Let's all stand. Hymn 157. If we are going to help anyone else who has fallen or someone else who's discouraged, maybe we need to come to the altar tonight and lay some things at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, I need some restoration. Lord, I need some encouragement. Lord, I need some grace and mercy. And just get on your knees and He will restore you. He will return into you the joy of your salvation. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you for this wonderful promise. God, we pray that you bless the invitation in Jesus' name.